Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Easter Sunday, and what a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have so much happening today. We, of course, celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive. We rejoice that our Savior gave himself for our sin, and that now he has risen. He is at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and he has shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Today, we're also opening up our church building once again, and you are watching a pre-recorded version of the service for Easter Sunday. There should also be a live recorded version on the website as well, if all of the technology has gone according to plan, and there should be a link to that below this after the service on Sunday, which you can watch. You're very welcome to join with us any Sunday from now on at 11 o'clock. We have reduced capacity within the church because we're still sitting at a social distance. You are asked to wear masks for the whole time that you're inside the church building. But we do have the video link into the church hall so that we can accommodate more people. So you're very welcome to come and join with us whenever it suits you as we worship together. Hopefully we'll continue putting a version on to the web, and the plan is that it will be a live broadcast from the service at 11 a.m. each Sunday, and then that will be available later on to watch at any time that suits you. So let's worship God together today, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We worship together because Jesus is alive. The whole reason that we come together, the whole reason that we sing praise, the whole reason that we live our lives is because Jesus is alive. So let's worship him and praise him together. Think of that first Easter Sunday morning. The woman went to the tomb just before dawn on that first Easter Sunday. And whenever they arrived, an angel had rolled back the stone, and the angel was sitting on the stone. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." He is risen. Jesus Christ is risen today. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for sin, has stood in our place and hung on a cross instead of us. And today we are drawn into his presence and we worship him and we praise him together. So let's tell everyone what Jesus has done for us as we worship and as we praise him together. We've got a number of special parts to our service today. Eileen's going to be playing. She's going to play "It Is a Thing Most Wonderful," combined with "The Old Rugged Cross." She's also going to play "When I Survey," and "Here Is Love Vast as the Ocean." And I know that many of you have appreciated these pieces from Eileen during lockdown. Our Bible passages today are going to be read by Heather and Amy Devine. And we're going to be looking at that account of the woman coming to the tomb on Easter Sunday and finding that the tomb was empty. We've got an Easter meditation later on in the service from Bear Grylls. And we've got a poem looking at the places where we can find Jesus at Easter. And it's called "Recognizing You." How we recognize Jesus as we go through this Easter season, as we look at the Easter story, but then also as we look at our lives together. We've also got special prayers today for this day of prayer that has been called upon, and we're guided by the moderator of our Presbyterian Church as we pray about coronavirus, as we pray about the easing of lockdown restrictions, and as we pray for our nation, that God would bless us and that there would be a turning to him in revival. Also, in case you missed it, we've had a series of very special reflections for Beside the Burn this past week. And we've also had a special Good Friday message from J. John, which was on the website and is still available for you to watch and for you to share with others as well. Tonight, we've also got a special evening service which has been produced by the moderator, the Right Reverend David Bruce, and that will be available later on today on our website. So let's begin by turning to God in prayer and asking for His blessing upon us today. Heavenly Father, as we come to You today, we give thanks for the resurrection. We give thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We give thanks that Jesus took our punishment, went to the cross and suffered and died instead of us. We thank You, Lord, that the grave could not hold Jesus, but that He rose again on the third day with victory, with new life. And now He offers that new life to each one of us. Lord, we come together today to celebrate that You are risen. We come together in the power of resurrection. And we ask now that You would be with us throughout this time of worship. Help us to realize who You are. Help us to realize what You have done. And help us to worship You. For Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. There are lots of phrases that are associated with Easter, lots of little phrases that we hear every year that are very emotive, that are very powerful phrases. Some of them are quite intriguing as we hear them and they attract our attention and we wonder what do they mean. And this past week, we've been looking at a number of those phrases. We've been in Beside the Burn each day looking at the various things that Jesus said while He was on the cross, seven sayings in total. And we took one each day and we looked at them and we examined what Jesus was saying and what He meant by those phrases. And there are other phrases that were spoken and some that just appear in the narrative that bring us into the story and we hear them and they sound familiar, and maybe because they sound familiar, we overlook them and we almost miss them at times. Some of those phrases are important, some aren't so important. As I was thinking about compiling a list of those to sort of list over at the start of the service, the first thing that came to mind was the cock crowing thrice. And I was thinking about Peter's denial and how the cock would crow to signal the fact that Peter had denied Jesus. And then whenever I started thinking about it, I realized I've got the phrase wrong. The cock didn't crow thrice. There wasn't three crowings of the cock. It was Peter that denied Jesus three times, and the cock would crow after he had denied Him. And that would be the signal. In fact, if we read the Gospels, if we look at Mark, Mark tells us that the cock crowed twice to signal that Peter had denied Jesus three times. So we've just got to be careful with those phrases, that we understand them, that we don't mishear them, and that we realize what they're about. There are so many other phrases, and one that we looked at today in the Bible reading was quite simply, He is not here, He is risen. What better phrase could we have to sum up what Easter is all about, to remind us about this day? He is not here was the message in the tomb, and He was not at the tomb so that we can say today, Jesus is here. Jesus is here with us. He is risen. So whether you're at home today or whether you are seated in the pews in this building, Jesus is here with us. He is where you are and He's where I am. He is not apart from us because He is risen from the grave. If we had to look back to Jerusalem, if we had to look back to that tomb and say, there's where Jesus is, it still would be a great story. He would be a wonderful person to follow, but we'd have nothing to celebrate today. But Jesus is alive. He's not here in the tomb. He is here with us, and He is risen. But there's one other little phrase that's been on the slides already today and in the advertising for our service today, and it's an intriguing little phrase that always grabs my attention whenever I read it and whenever I hear it. And it's in verse 8, and the woman have met the angel, and now a lot has happened on that first Easter Sunday. So just to remind you from the passage that we read from Matthew 28, there was a violent earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and went to the tomb. The angel then rolled back the stone. Now, at this point, it wasn't the earthquake that rolled back the stone, it was the angel. It wasn't Jesus rising from the dead and then pushing the stone aside so that he could walk out of the tomb. Jesus was already risen at this point. He wasn't confined by a stone placed over the tomb. And of course, the stone wasn't there to stop Jesus getting out. He was dead. He was buried. The stone was there to stop his followers coming and taking the body and stealing it. So the tomb is empty. The angel arrives, and the angel rolls back the stone to show everyone that the tomb is already empty. And that's a remarkable little twist in the story. So he rolls back the stone, and he sits on it. And he sits in the stone, and he waits to see what the reaction is going to be. Quite a remarkable person, this angel. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And he sits there on the stone, and the guards who were there, making sure that nobody would come and interfere with the stone, were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. These are guards. These are soldiers. They would have seen all sorts of things in their daily lives, and yet this angel sitting on the stone, they begin to tremble, and they are like dead men. Now notice also that normally, whenever an angel appears and somebody sees the angel and is frightened, one of the first things that the angel says is, "Do not be afraid." But that isn't said to the guards. The guards have every right to be afraid because this angel is against everything that they're standing for and everything that they're doing. Then the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Not to the guards, but to the woman who have come along. "For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." There's that little phrase. "He has risen, just as he said." Jesus told you this. Why are you looking for him in a tomb whenever he's already told you that he's going to rise again? He'll be alive. You're looking in the wrong place. You've forgotten what Jesus said. "Come and see the place where he lay." And that little "come and see" phrase is another interesting one in the Gospels, because you think whenever Jesus was first calling his disciples, some of them went and said, come and see this man. The woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And here the angel is saying, "Come and see. See that Jesus is alive. He's not in the tomb. He's not dead. Come and see. Look at it with your own eyes. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." In other words, this is the statement. There's nothing to be argued about here. I've told you. You've seen it with your own eyes. Go and tell the disciples. And then here comes that little phrase that I want us to think about for a moment or two this morning in verse 8. "So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." Afraid yet filled with joy. What a phrase that almost could get just skipped over in the rush to get on to see what happens to these women. There's just been an earthquake. There's an angel. There's sword. There's a stone that's been rolled away. There's soldiers who are frightened. They've seen the empty tomb. They've now been given instructions, and we're told that they are afraid, yet filled with joy. Afraid, yet filled with joy. It's a strange set of emotions because normally you would have one or the other. You'd either be afraid or you'd be filled with joy. But to have both at the same time, it creates a tremendous tension. And we look at these women and we see them and we almost imagine that the stop start, the toing and froing, the what have we seen, where are we going, what should we do, should we stay, should we go, should we do this, should we say that? And these two emotions are within them. Why were they afraid? Well, just look at what happened, what we've just read. Over the last few days, Jesus had been arrested. He'd been beaten and put on trial. He'd suffered a tremendous beating. He was bleeding. And then they took him and put him on a cross. They nailed him to the cross. And he suffered and died, and they stood and they watched him. The one that they loved, they watched him die. They'd maybe even heard that Peter had denied him. And they were afraid that if this could happen to Jesus, it could happen to them. They could be looking at death. They could be worried for themselves. And then Jesus was buried and put into the tomb, and they were afraid. There's also been a couple of earthquakes. Now, in the grand scheme of things, we perhaps again overlook the earthquakes because Jesus has died, he's been crucified and buried. That's the big event that we concentrate on. But as he breathed his last on the cross, there was an earthquake. And at the moment of the earthquake, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And we've often looked and said at that was how the way was opened up for us to come to God, that Jesus tore apart that curtain through his death. And therefore, that curtain blocked off the Holy of Holies, which was the place where God dwelt among his people. But now the dwelling of God was with men in Jesus. There was no need for a curtain to block off Jesus anymore. So there was an earthquake there. Now, that would have happened on Friday. There was an earthquake. Earthquakes are frightening. I've never been in one. I've never experienced one. I've seen the pictures on television. And whenever you see the pictures, people are terrified about what's happening. And now, 2 days later, on the third day, on the Sunday, there is another earthquake in the morning. And then the angel rolls back the stone and sits there. As the women are on their way to the tomb, the second earthquake. There is plenty to be frightened about. They could quite happily be afraid in all that's taking place. Then they get to the tomb. They suddenly discover it's empty. What's going on there? There's an angel that has turned soldiers into dead men. They must have been frightened of the angel. And then the angel speaks to them and says, "Do not be afraid." But they are afraid of all of this. They'd lost their friend, so they were afraid. So many things causing fear for them. So they were afraid, yet filled with joy. Why were they filled with joy? Well, the tomb was empty. It seemed that Jesus wasn't dead. The angel was telling them that Jesus was risen, that he was alive. So there was a euphoria for them. There was this joy that it's not the end. There's hope. There's things happening here. They were then told to go and tell the disciples. Maybe that caused them a bit of fear. What are we going to say to the disciples? Are they going to listen to us? Are they going to believe us? But it's a wonderful message to take to them. So again, the fear and the joy are brought together. And I wonder, do we ever feel like that? Whenever we worship God, do we feel the joy and know the joy of Jesus Christ in our lives? And then as we get up after worship, whether it's been in person, in the church building or sitting at home over this year of lockdown. We get up and then we're slightly afraid. What am I going to say to others about what I've been doing? How am I going to explain to others what Jesus means to me? Are they going to listen to me? Are they going to be interested in what I'm saying and what I'm doing? And we're afraid, yet we're filled with joy. And the tension is there that we've got to live out in our lives. We've got to remember that Jesus is risen. He is with us. So whatever fear we may have, he says to us today, do not fear. Wonder if it's a similar thing that we're experiencing in these days as we begin to come out of lockdown again. Jesus is with us. But I think this time it feels a little bit different coming out of lockdown. I may be wrong, maybe it's just me, but it just seems harder to come out of lockdown this time. We've been here before. We've experienced a little bit of freedom, and then suddenly it was taken away from us again. And perhaps we're filled with joy that we're going to have a little bit more freedom. After all, today we're allowed to start meeting together in the church once again. We've still got lots of restrictions. We're still fearful that the virus is out there. But we've got this joy that things are starting to move along. There's the prospect that maybe soon we'll be able to get a haircut again. But we're afraid about what that means. We're going to be close to people again. We're going to be talking to people again. We're afraid, yet filled with joy. But Jesus is with us. Jesus is risen. Jesus is able to help us through this transition as we come out of lockdown again. He is risen. Perhaps something has happened during lockdown, and therefore you feel the enormity of coming out of lockdown that little bit more this time. Perhaps something has happened to you personally or to your family, and you wonder how you're going to cope with it. Let's remember that Jesus is risen, and the all-powerful Jesus Christ is with us as we come out of lockdown. Many things could have happened to us. You know, things can't possibly go back to the way they were before lockdown because of this change that has happened. And you're afraid, yet filled with joy. You know that you have dealt with the change already, but you're going to have to deal with it again as you come out of lockdown, as you meet people, as you have to talk to people, as you have to go over old ground once again. And things have changed, and yet the world is going to move on very quickly, and you're afraid about moving on too quickly and paying respect to whatever has changed and whatever has gone on. Afraid and yet filled with joy. But the message today is Jesus is risen. He is alive. Go and tell others about him. Perhaps you've maybe even made a commitment to God during lockdown. You've taken a long, hard look at your life and you've realized where you've been going wrong and the things that need to be changed. And you've made a renewed commitment to God and you've told him that you're going to change the way that you've been living and you're going to alter the things that you do. And now that lockdown is about to come to an end and you're going to have to go out and face people again and go into situations again, you're a little afraid because you wonder, is that commitment going to stand? Am I going to be able to live up to that commitment? Or am I just going to go back to my old ways and this past year's been a complete waste? You're afraid and yet filled with joy. Remember that Jesus is alive. Remember that Jesus is risen. Remember that Jesus is with you. He's not asking you to do it on your own. He's going to do it for you. He's going to be with you. He's already gone to the cross instead of you. He's already taken the punishment for sin instead of you. And he will help you now to make whatever commitment and keep whatever commitment you've made. Perhaps you've had a long, hard look at your life during lockdown, and you know what you want your life to look like going forward. And you're excited, you're filled with joy at the prospect of living this new life that you realize needs to be put into action. But now as it gets closer, you're a little afraid that it won't work out the way you wanted it to. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus is able to change a life. Jesus is able to change my life. And he's able to change your life as well. Jesus can transform lives. He can take the most hopeless life and breathe new life into it. Remember the valley of dry bones that we were thinking about on Palm Sunday, and how Jesus Christ takes those dry bones and breathes, the Holy Spirit breathes new life. And that's what we pray will happen now for us. Perhaps you've enjoyed lockdown. You've enjoyed the peace and the different pace of life. You've enjoyed spending more time with your closest, nearest, and dearest in your own household. And you've had time to do things that you never had time to do before. And you've enjoyed it, and you've praised God for it and thanked him for it. But now that the lockdown is easing, you're afraid that everything's going to go back to normal. You're going to be busy again. There's going to be no time for those family meals around the table. There's going to be no time to chat and to talk. It's frightening as well as joyful. But Jesus is risen, and Jesus can help us. If we can put Jesus at the center of all that we're doing, then it will change. This past year, lockdown's been at the center of everything. Whatever we've been doing, we've always had to check, what does it say in the guidelines? Am I allowed to do this, or should I not do it? If I am allowed to do it, is it wise to do it? And now going forward, we need to put Jesus in that position where we check with Jesus. Jesus, do you want me to do this? Jesus, is this wise for me to be doing? Or should I be thinking about something else? And in that way, we can know the joy of Jesus Christ and not be afraid of the world around us. Today, Easter Sunday, is a day of resurrection. It is a day of forgiveness of sins. Jesus has taken our sin, and it has been nailed to the cross with him, and he has shed his blood to wash that sin away, and he has risen. He is risen with victory over death, with victory over sin, and he is coming today to us to say, do not be afraid, but be filled with joy and rejoice in all that God offers you in the forgiveness of your sins. This is the hope that we have, and this is the hope that we rejoice in today. Let's bow before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we ask that you would be glorified, that your name would be lifted on high. Help us now, Lord, to trust in your forgiveness. Fill us with your joy, Lord, and take away our fear that we might glorify your name. Amen. And our final item of praise today is that wonderful hymn of celebration and hope at Easter. This is a hymn that we just love singing on Easter Sunday in Burnside because the church is packed. There are seats in everywhere. All of our friends and holidaymakers are normally with us, and we sing, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son."
After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Thank you, Amy. And now we come to God in prayer, bringing these special prayers on this day before the Lord, asking for his blessing and asking for his revival power to come. And then after we pray, we're going to hear a poem recognizing you.
While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you.
Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing to be upon us today. We ask that we would know the forgiveness of our sins through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would know the love of you, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.